So if you have a Bible, we're going to read in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. This is a very, very well-known story. I'm sure that everybody's heard it at least once, if not twice, or maybe many, many more times. It's a common Sunday school story, a Bible class story, but I just want to pick out some things from it this evening as I open for my brother Scott. Well, Scott and I were born in Prince Edward Island, way up there in Canada. The best province in Canada. I said it. I think it is, right? If you ask Ira moved there 50 years ago, so he must think it's pretty good as well. So that's where we live. Scott and I were actually in the same Sunday school class back in the 70s. That's just to date him a little bit. And we had some wonderful Sunday school teachers back in those days. So Scott and I go a long ways back, and I'm happy to open for my older brother tonight. So we're going to read 10 verses, Luke 19, verse number 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, that's the multitude, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he, that Zacchaeus, made haste and came down and received him, that's the Lord Jesus, received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's read that last verse again. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's all we're going to read, and God blesses the reading of his word. Like I said, this is a very simple story, and I'm thinking especially of those who are younger this evening. Even though they know the story well, I just want to notice a few things that maybe will help us understand the message of the gospel and the importance of the message of the gospel and the urgency of the message of the gospel. Because one of the things that we notice here in Luke 19 is this, that the Lord Jesus is passing through the city of Jericho. It wasn't a place that he went often, and chances are he wasn't going to go back. So this man had to take advantage of this opportunity to meet the Lord Jesus. Now, what we don't know is how many opportunities we have as far as the gospel is concerned. I was brought up in a Sunday school in a gospel hall way up there in Canada in the Great White North. And I was at meeting after meeting after meeting. I had lots of opportunities. This man wasn't like that. He definitely wasn't brought up in a gospel hall. And this man obviously had swerved. Had he learned Bible lessons before, he had swerved away from all those things. So the first thing that I noticed about this man is the service that he rendered to, shall we say, his country. Well, really, it was a different country, but he was working there as a tax gatherer or a tax collector. The word we have in our King James Version is a publican, but in the U.S. we would say he worked for the IRS, I think if I know that correctly. In Canada, it's the CRA. Both those letters, IRS and CRA, are not usually people's favorite letters, especially in the spring of the year. But back in those days, it was far worse. Because these people, like this man here, They took more than they should take. Now, I'm not making any political statements here tonight at all, and I'm not criticizing the tax department of any country whatsoever, but I am saying this, that when we look at this man Zacchaeus, he wasn't an honest man. He wasn't. He was a selfish man. How do we know that? Well, I suggest we know it from what he says and from what the Bible says about him. Because one of the things we learn about him is this. He was the chief among the publicans. In other words, he was rising up. He was the most important. He was the boss of the bosses, shall we say. And besides that, it says that he was rich. Now, there's nothing wrong with being rich, but obviously that would appear to be what his desire was. So he's working, serving the country, shall we say, and he's selfish. He's bringing everything towards him. Now, obviously, when it says that he was rich, it means that he had many possessions. He'll talk about that later on as well, won't he? But what we learn about this man, Zacchaeus, although he is rich, he's not happy. He understands that something is missing in his life, which tells us a couple of things. Number one, it tells us that riches don't satisfy anybody. Now, I'm not saying they never satisfy anybody for a moment of time. But as far as eternal satisfaction, as far as filling that void that is in the heart of somebody, riches won't do it. Many people have tried, but it doesn't work. And Zacchaeus now, I have no idea how old he was. I have no idea how long he'd been working there, charging taxes to the people. I have no idea of any of that. But what we do see is that finally he comes to this understanding. I need to search for something that's going to satisfy me, because my riches aren't doing it. What do we see? How do we see that? It says there in verse number 3, he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Now, I don't know how much he had heard about the person of Jesus Christ, but obviously he had heard enough to know that this was maybe a man that he should get to know. At least he wanted to see him. Now, what we read as we go through Luke 19 is that his desire to see him is actually improved, shall we say. The Lord Jesus doesn't just see him, he actually has a conversation with him. He doesn't just have a conversation with him, he actually saves him. He converts him, if you want to use that particular word. But my point here in verse number 3 is this. He sought to see Jesus, who he is. Now, I don't want you to answer me out loud here, and you don't have to tell me at the door. I won't ask you this question. But here is a question for you. Why are we here tonight? Why are you here tonight? I would love to think that maybe there's somebody here in the meeting tonight that really feels kind of the same thing as Zacchaeus. Maybe you don't have as much money as Zacchaeus had, but you know there's something missing in your life. You know there's no satisfaction that this world can offer to you. You've come to understand that something's wrong in life. And so you're searching. And that's why you're here. Well, that's why Zacchaeus was there that day as well. He took maybe a couple of hours off work, and he's searching for Jesus, who he was. But we have a problem, don't we? Now, I know we have to be careful in the society in which we live when we talk about people's size and stature and all that type of thing. So I'll be very careful as well. But this is what the Bible says. He couldn't see the Lord Jesus because of the press. Now, when you think of the press, you might think about, let me just see if I can come up with something here. I'm in the wrong country to think very quickly, and I'll say the wrong thing. But you might be thinking Fox News or CNN or New York Times or the Washington Post. That's not the press, okay? That's not the press here. The press here is simply the multitude of people. So what we learn here is that there is a whole multitude of people, and they're around the Lord Jesus, they're following the Lord Jesus, they're hearing the Lord Jesus, they're observing the Lord Jesus, and Zacchaeus comes up against all this crowd of people, and he can't see the Lord Jesus. Why? Because it says he was little of stature. Now, I have no idea what that means exactly. I have a general idea, but not a real idea. He might have been 4'7". I really don't know. People, generally speaking, were shorter back then than they are now. So let's say the average was 5 feet. He might have been 4'6". I don't know. But whatever it was, he understands I have a serious problem. There's all these people around and they're impeding my search. So he has two options, doesn't he? Option number one, go back to work. Just say, well, I tried. Just let's forget about it. That's option number one. Option number two is the option that he took. Option number two is the right option. What is it? Well, it says that he ran on before. So if you can picture in your mind, just try to get the picture. We have a whole multitude of people. Let's say 500 people that are following the Lord Jesus. I don't know how many there were, but let's say 500. And Zacchaeus is way behind them. And the Lord Jesus is walking down the street of Jericho. And obviously, Zacchaeus knows the city of Jericho. He's gone around and he's charging taxes to these people. He kind of knows the lay of the land. And maybe he knows that just down the road, let's say half a mile, let's just say, there's a tree, a big tree. It's called a sycamore tree. Now, I could give you some names here. Just try to imagine this. Here you have this shorter man. And he's an important man in the city. Whether people like him or not is a different story. But he is an important man in the city. And you see him running around the crowd and running down the street and then climbing a tree. Now, I don't know who the mayor of the land is, okay? But you maybe do. Or we could change it. We could change it and say, well, what about the governor of Florida? Now, I think I know his name. I think his name might be Rick. Okay. Can you imagine? Is that his name? No.
Ron.
I'm not very good American. Ron. Yeah, I can kind of picture. He's got a better hairdo than I do. I know that much. But can you imagine this man, governor of Florida, running down around a crowd and then climbing a tree? Like usually, people that have these types of positions are rather dignified, right? And they're certainly not going to be climbing a tree in front of people. Right? That's not what they're going to do. But what we notice here in Zacchaeus, I would suggest to you, is this. He's not too proud. He's beginning to understand that I'm not going to give up this opportunity. This is my opportunity. And I'm going to do all I can to take advantage of this opportunity. Now, you know, if you've been at this gospel hall more than once for a gospel meeting, you well know that the work of salvation does not depend on our works. It depends on what the Lord Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. At the same time, remember what it says in the Gospel of Luke, just back here a few chapters, chapter 13. Somebody came to the Lord Jesus and asked this question, are there few that be saved? Well, the Lord Jesus didn't answer the question. The answer to the question is yes, there are few that are saved. But the answer that the Lord Jesus gave was actually this: strive to enter in. Strive. What does it mean to strive? It means to put forth a diligent effort. In other words, the Lord Jesus is not going to save anybody that doesn't want to be saved. That's a good thing you're here tonight. It's a wonderful thing you're here tonight. I would say there's no better place in the land than here tonight. Okay? So here is Zacchaeus, and he says, this is my day. This is my opportunity. So he's understood. He's understood in his own mind. I can't do this. I need to run ahead. He's up the sycamore tree. And the Lord Jesus is still going along the streets of Jericho, and all this multitude is following him. And now Zacchaeus has a bird's eye view. He's up in the tree. He has a bird's eye view. There's the Lord Jesus coming along. There's the multitude coming along. And what did he want? It says that he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Now he's seen him. Is he satisfied? Perhaps a little bit. But the Lord Jesus has something far better in store for him, doesn't he? Because when we keep on reading here, it says in verse number 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus. Now, you can kind of imagine the surprise in the mind of Zacchaeus, perhaps, right? Number one, they had never met before, right? So, I am horrible at names. Horrible at names. I know Scott's name because I've known him since the 1970s. And I've known his wife, and I've known Ira for 50 years as well. And his wife, Betty, longer than that. But there's a lot of names that don't stick, okay? But one thing I can't do, if I don't know your name, I'm certainly not going to come up with it. But here's the Lord Jesus, and he comes along, and he looks up, and he sees him, and he calls him by name. By name. So there's a few things we learn here. Number one is that there's nobody that the Lord Jesus doesn't know. Number one. Number two, there's nobody that the Lord Jesus is not interested in. Number three, the Lord Jesus is interested in individuals. You can read through the gospel accounts and find many, many times. I'm not going to mention any of them. You do the work, you read the Bible, and you see the many times that the Lord Jesus takes the time to talk to one person. Even though oftentimes there were many that wanted to see him, many that wanted to talk to him, many that wanted to see miracles, yet so many times the Lord Jesus deals with just one individual. And it's true. John 3:16, we have it right here. God so loved the world, and this is very true, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we see here the whole vast humanity, and yet we see the importance of the individual, whosoever. Well, this is kind of what we see here in Luke 19. So the Lord Jesus sees him up in the tree, and he calls him by name, Zacchaeus. Now, again, I don't know how old Zacchaeus was. I'm not sure whether he was 59 years old, which is older than I am, and taking his heart medication. I'm not sure how surprised he was, right? But I would suggest he was fairly surprised. But the Lord Jesus doesn't say just, Zacchaeus, nice to see you, and carry on. That would have satisfied what Zacchaeus' desire was. He just wanted to see him. But now we see this. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. What does it mean to make haste? That's not normally the way we talk anymore, I don't think. Make haste. Your mother or your father or anybody doesn't say, make haste, get in the car, we're going to go now, right? That's not the way they normally talk. At least my parents didn't talk that way. But they did tell me, hurry up. They did tell me that. So that's what the Lord Jesus says. Zacchaeus, hurry up and come on down. Now, if I said that Zacchaeus, in a certain sense, is showing some sense of humility here, can you imagine? I lost his name already. Ron DeSantis? Got it. Can you imagine? Now, come on down. Now, come on. In front of all these people? Are you serious? Now, I'll just climb a bit higher. That's maybe what I would do. I'll just hide from all these people. That's what I did. That's what I actually did. Let me just tell you a quick story. I mentioned in a meeting earlier, although most of you didn't hear this, but I mentioned in an earlier meeting that I was saved on the 24th of July, 1981, at 8:10 p.m., second row of a tent in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Green and white tent. Remember well. That was 1981. I remember well 1980, spring of 1980. I was sitting in gospel meetings in the Charlottetown Gospel Hall. 12 years old, and one night I went to see the preacher. He lived just down the street from me. My mother dropped me off, and I waited for Mr. Ramsey to come home. And he came home. I was down in the bottom floor. They had a split entry. I was in the bottom floor waiting, and he came in and he sat down beside me, and we read some verses in the Bible. And finally, he said, Marcus, there's nothing I can do for you. You may as well just go home. Well, okay. Well, I just walked up the street. I mean, I just lived up the street. It was fine. Gave me some tracks. The next day, this is the part I'm getting to. The next day, I was outside playing with some friends. Mr. Ramsey shows up at the door. Cool. Let me tell you, I was hiding in the sycamore tree. I didn't want to see him. Why? Because I wasn't like Zacchaeus. I was proud. And I certainly didn't want anybody to think that I was concerned about my soul. Didn't want anybody to think that. So I just kind of let him go. That's maybe a polite way of saying it. Right? I wasn't rude, but I made it clear that I wasn't interested in talking at that particular moment. I hope there's nobody like that tonight. I wonder to myself sometimes how many people are lost in eternity because of their pride. And I think there's an awful lot. But Zacchaeus, thankfully, was not like that, was he? So what did he do? Well, if you're reading with me along here, it says, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste. What did he do? He obeyed. Now the Lord Jesus says, today I have to abide. I have to go to your house today. He didn't say, let's make an appointment for tomorrow, right? Or the next day, or next week, next time I'm passing through. No, he says, today. So let me remind you that the Bible speaks about today. Now, there's lots of verses I could mention to you, including verses in Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4 that have to do with the nation of Israel. But here's what it says. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And we can take that to heart as well. Or we can come to the letter of Paul to the Corinthians, and he'll tell us that today is the day of salvation. So Zacchaeus had this one opportunity, and he took it. He comes down, he makes haste, and what does it say? The end of verse 6, he received him joyfully. He received him joyfully. So they go to the house. There's a conversation inside the house. I'm not going to go into the conversation inside the house because the Bible doesn't go into the conversation inside the house. But obviously something happened in the life of Zacchaeus between that time that he's coming down and the time that he's coming out of his house later on after the conversation with the Lord Jesus. Something happened. What happened? He was saved. How do we know that? Well, look at what the Lord Jesus says. I'm going to skip over what Zacchaeus says and look at what the Lord Jesus says. He says in verse number 9, this day is salvation come to this house. Because he's decided that he's going to live a different life. Because he's decided that he's going to give all that money back to the people that he stole it from. No, that's not what he says, is it? You read the Bible carefully when you read the Bible. So what does it actually say? This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. What does that mean? I'll put it very simply. What it means is this. Abraham was the father of faith. What had Zacchaeus done? He had heard the voice of the Savior, and he had believed the voice of the Savior. He believed what the Lord Jesus told him, and therefore he was saved. That's as simple as it was. It wasn't complicated. Now, there was evidence of his salvation. That's why he comes out and says, "What if I've stolen, I'll give it back. And actually, I'll give four times more back. Why? Because something had happened in his heart. He had been saved. And salvation brings a change. And this man was changed. Then we come to verse 10, and with this I finish. The Lord Jesus didn't come just to save Zacchaeus, thankfully. Thankfully, right? So now the Lord Jesus has this audience that's at the door. The audience that had criticized the Lord Jesus. Why? Because he had gone to eat in the house of a man who is a sinner. He was short. Yeah. He was searching. Yeah, he was doing that as well. He was selfish. Yeah, he was doing that. But now he's saved. But this is what they accused Zacchaeus of was true. He was a sinner. So the Lord Jesus says in verse number 10, not just for Zacchaeus' sake, but for all that were listening, for the Son of Man, that's the Lord Jesus, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Here's the big question. Have you ever realized that you were lost? I remember the night that I felt that I was so lost. What night was it? July 24th, 1981. Sitting in a meeting, I thought, I can't do anything to save myself. And I looked down at 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. This is what it says. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And when I was seated right there, as I said, the second row at the very end in a tent, that's what I understood. He came to save me. I'm the chief of sinners. He came to save me. So when the Lord Jesus says, for the Son of Man has come to seek, that's what he's doing tonight. He's still seeking. He's searching for sinners that need salvation. But thank God he came to save. What was the work of salvation? He went to the cross. Nails were placed in his hands and in his feet. A crown of thorns was placed upon his brow. And then, after man had done all that to him, God took the weight of our sin and he placed it upon his Son. The punishment that we deserved, was placed upon the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says by his stripes we're healed. Healed not in a physical way, but healed in a spiritual way. We can be saved by trusting in him. Just like Zacchaeus did, just like I have done, just like many of us here tonight have trusted in him. You too, if you're not saved, could trust in the Lord Jesus tonight and have this wonderful gift of eternal life.